Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little... Put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I think I'm right. That's the new Mike Shope standard. I am not opening that page up one more time and having seven ads blast me in the face. Mexico still only needed one more goal. Maybe goals scored would have come up before, even after Saudi Arabia scored, but they still didn't get it. So it wasn't quite over when the Saudis scored there with 4 minutes into injury time. It's over now. Poland is through. Yes. Argentina is through. Mexico is out. Saudi Arabia is out. But congrats to those guys for beating Argentina.
Allow me now to sing loudly and proudly the national anthem of Poland. No, I don't know.
Should I stand?
I would if I knew. I don't know.
Mark, what's the etiquette on that? If Bulldog starts singing the Polish national anthem, are we obliged to stand up? Obligated. What do you think?
I believe we are obligated to stand up. Also, I was told there would be no mass. I mean, in the final minutes there, I'm like, counted yellow cards on both hands. I'm like, what? How is this how we're going to determine this? But apparently that's what was going to happen until Saudi Arabia scored. It was going to be fair play points, which is a thing I just learned about, which is kind of cool.
Michael Lopez tweeted, why didn't they just, instead of going to overtime in the Bills-Chiefs playoff game, just look and see who had more penalties and eliminate them?
Maybe that's what we should do from now on.
Maybe it is.
Whoever had more personal foul penalties called against them, you know, they get sent home.
We'll have to put it throw it over to R&D and see what they say. Mark Schofield, our guest, SB Nation. Mark's been on the show many times. We're grateful for that. And especially when it's New England, Mark. Before we get into Bills Patriots, and I'm sorry this is sort of weird now because I'm just jumping all around, but I wanted to start this way before the soccer thing. Would you like to say a few words about Christine McVie?
A few words about Christine McVie? What did I miss?
She died.
She did?
Yes.
Just oh, my before goodness. Our show started, yeah. Sorry.
I had not seen that. That 79. I'm reading about it now, man. A lot of my childhood, a lot of the songs I still listen to. I mean, Fleetwood Mac, Christine McVie, that's one of those that's like, man, there are songs that they recorded, songs that they released that I still listen to that I, you know, would play for my kids. I mean, this is a stunner, man. This one hurts.
Yeah. I thought immediately, I have a younger sister, I have a sister 3 years older and 3 years younger, so I'm the middle kid. My younger sister, I texted her immediately when I saw this news because I knew she adored Christine McVie. Big Fleetwood Mac fan, but maybe unlike the majority of Fleetwood Mac fans, she liked Christine more than Stevie Nicks. And she texted me like she was, you know, very sad. Thanks for letting me know. And she texted me and said, the girl across the street from us, we used to pretend to be Fleetwood Mac, and I would never, it would never be an argument who got to be Stevie, because I always wanted to be Christine McVie.
Wow. Yeah, this one hurts. I mean, you know, and you know, unfortunately, that's kind of what we're getting at in life now. You see more events like this that kind of take you back to moments of your childhood, moments growing up. And yeah, I mean, this is one. As soon as we head up here, I'm going to text my wife because I don't know if she's heard, but, you know, she's also a huge Fleetwood Mac fan, and this is one that I'm sure she's going to want to hear about. But yeah, this is a tough one.
That song Everywhere is back in the rotation because of an ad, this car ad. You're hearing that song all the time watching TV. Okay, well, Mark, sorry that we happened to spring that on you. Let's get to football and this game tomorrow night, or just start with your thoughts on the Bills in general here. We've been kind of tiptoeing around the last couple of weeks whether or not we think they're okay, you know, like by the kind of standard they had set. They did win these games both in Detroit over the Browns and the Lions, and there was a lot of, you know, adversity, with especially getting to Detroit and everything with the first game against Cleveland. How are you on the Bills? Are you where you were before the season started, or maybe less confident in their Super Bowl chances?
You know, I still am very confident in their Super Bowl chances. I'm very confident in this team. It's been interesting, you know, would this be Bills Patriots week? I've done a number of Bills shows, and, you know, and getting ready for those and getting ready to come on with you guys, you know, looking around Bills Twitter and Bills social media, and it does seem like there's some angst, some unease about this team. But, you know, like you said, I've been on with you guys a lot, and I always love to try to put context to things. The past three games for these Buffalo Bills have been under some strange circumstances. You have a game against Minnesota where Josh Allen doesn't practice leading into it. He's banged up with the elbow injury. You lose that in rather strange fashion with the fumble and the quarterback sneak to try to get a little bit of, you know, yardage away from your own end zone. Then you have a home game that gets played at Detroit because of the storm. Then you have to make the quick turnaround and play again on Thanksgiving. And to come away from 3 weeks of games, or really 2.5 weeks of games, with minimal practice time, with two wins, I think that context is important. Are there things they need to clean up? Certainly. Are turnovers, particularly down in the red zone, something that Bills fans are right to be worried about? Absolutely. You know, when you see Josh Allen tied for the league lead in interceptions, you see some of those interceptions coming in the red zone. It's not what you want to see. But given the sort of adversity they've worked through these past games to win two of them and still have a chance to finish where we expected them to be, atop the AFC East, and to perhaps they still have a shot at the first overall seed in the AFC, you know, with a lot of games left to be played, I think that context is important. So I remain extremely high on the Buffalo Bills. Now, we're going to see some big games down the stretch here, starting tomorrow night, but I still am where I was on them when the season began. They're perhaps the team to beat in the AFC.
Yeah, they've still got some pretty two pretty big injury concerns going into this game. Even if you just, you know, take them at face value that Allen is, you know, through the worst of it here because he hasn't had an injury designation at all this week. But you've got he did have a designation, but he's still practiced fully. I don't want to botch that. But Von Miller obviously out, Deion Dawkins obviously out, but they're getting a lot of other guys back. Rousseau and Epinesa at defensive end, Tremaine Edmonds back, Mitch Morse back. They were down a lot of significant pieces.
Yeah, they were. And I think the Rousseau and Epinesa, Von Miller being out this week and Von Miller being out for a period of time is certainly going to hurt because of what he gives you off the edge. But for this game tomorrow night, getting Rousseau and Epinesa back, I think it's going to be big because as you start thinking about this game tomorrow night, you start looking at the matchup, you know, between the Bills defense and this Patriots offense. Mac Jones has really struggled this year when pressured. You know, I think one touchdown, five interceptions, his adjusted completion percentage is like 37th. Out of 39 passers when pressured this year. He tried to get the ball out a little quicker last Thursday night against Minnesota to perhaps neutralize that a bit. But with Rousseau and Epinesa coming back, there's an opportunity for Buffalo, even without Von Miller, to start getting some pressure on Jones, start forcing some, you know, throws under duress where we've seen him struggle this year. And then when you look at the fact that this Patriots offensive line, they're still trying to figure out perhaps their best five. They've given up some pressures. They've been moving guys around. Getting those two pieces back up front could be huge for Buffalo tomorrow night.
With Mark Schofield here on WGR. So on Mac Jones and the Patriots, where do you think we're at in terms of how he's doing? Wasn't too long ago with that Bears game where the fans were on him and Bailey Zappi had looked pretty good. Is that ancient history now?
I mean, I'd say it's recent history. I wouldn't say it's ancient history, guys, because, you know, there's still you know, similar to the angst which you were just talking about in Buffalo, about the past couple of weeks in Buffalo, there's still angst about this Patriots passing game. And Mac Jones is a part of that angst because, you know, he's had some turnovers this year. They've struggled in the passing game this year. Yes, he had perhaps his best game of the season, his most efficient game of the season against Minnesota on Thursday night, but Minnesota banged up in the secondary for that game, and they still ended up losing that game. They're a team that right now is 31st in red zone touchdown percentage. They're behind the Colts and the Texans. They're just ahead of the Denver Broncos. That's not great company. This passing game, here we are post-Thanksgiving. They're struggling to find a consistent identity and recipe in the passing game. Are they a spread team? Are they an RPO team? Are they an under-center play-action team? There have been moments this year, you know, Thursday night, first 2.5 quarters against Baltimore a couple weeks ago, where you saw what this passing game could be. You saw perhaps a vertical element, a downfield element to this passing game, the touchdown to Aguilar early in that game, the seam route to Hunter Henry for a touchdown later in that game on Thursday night. But they haven't really put together a complete dynamic passing performance yet. You know, I think Mac Jones is still within that building. They're looking at him like, this is still our guy. Mike Reese from ESPN was out on ESPN today saying that they still believe that he is their quarterback of the present and the future. But there are things they need to fix in the passing game. And here we are post-Thanksgiving. You're getting into – they have a similar tough stretch, you know, the rest of the way if they're trying to get into the playoffs. When you're trying to figure out a pass game identity post-Thanksgiving, it's not really a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Newsflash, they want to run the ball, right?
Yeah.
Harris out should clear the deck for Ramondre Stevenson. But we've had plenty of experience here just in Buffalo with – the Patriots yanking, like, choose the method of your destructor type running back stuff. So, like, is there somebody waiting in the wings that I've never heard of that's going to try to murder me? Or should we expect to see Stevenson get the ball like crazy, both in the passing game and the run game?
Yeah, I mean, I think Stevenson is kind of, you know, even when Harris is healthy, he's kind of carved out a bigger role in this offense, both in the run game and the pass game. And actually, he's been more efficient in the pass game for them the past couple of weeks. I mean, might you see sort of J.J. Taylor come up from the practice squad and, you know, take some third down snaps? Might you see Pierre Strawn, you know, who's a rookie, take on a bigger role, particularly on third downs, because he's got some shiftiness and change of direction skills to him? You might see one of those guys take on a bigger role. But what Stevenson has done, both as a runner and particularly as a passer with his change of direction skills, his footwork, he's got great feet for a bigger back. I think it's going to be more of a Stevenson game than anything else.
So, Mark, the AFC East apparently is really good. And by the way, the NFC East, all 8 teams with winning records as we get to December here tomorrow. Kind of amazing. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the Dolphins. I mean, they have a lot of believers and a lot of great numbers. But not everybody's with the idea that that's like a top-tier team in the AFC or the league. And then you have the Jets with Mike White going in and a good defense. Very interesting developments of late with them and 7 wins so far. How do you see the division playing out?
I mean, as it stands right now, I mean, you've got 4 of the best teams in the conference. I do think that changes for the best teams record-wise. I mean, I think that will change as these teams start to play each other, beat themselves up a little bit more. But it's a strange, you know, turn of events from where we were in the summer, because I remember back in the summertime it was, oh, the AFC West is loaded. That's going to be a great division. Everybody in there could make the playoffs. Now we're talking about that for the AFC East. I'm fascinated by the Jets, you know, making the switch to Mike White, who looked effective, efficient, confident, played in rhythm and in structure, but it was against the Chicago Bears. What does that look like as they spin the rest of their season forward, as they start to face defenses that aren't like Chicago's, who traded away some of their best pieces on the defensive side of the ball? I've become a believer in Miami. You know, obviously the big questions about the Dolphins focused on Tua. Was Tua going to be the guy? They had made all the additions around him, Brady and Tyreek Hill, making additions to the offensive line. He's played very well. You know, they can put stress on defenses in the secondary. Their speed is perhaps, you know, the team speed they have at the receiver position, perhaps unmatched in the National Football League. They force you to do a couple of different things in the secondary. They can do some things in the ground game, running the football. And so I'm a believer in the Dolphins, but I think this is a very good division. And the things that we were saying, the things that I was saying about the AFC West back in the summer, they now apply to the AFC East. Whoever comes out of this division atop they're going to be tested and ready to go for the playoffs because they will have earned, you know, wherever they end up, you know, seeding wise, they will have earned a division title coming out of a very tough division.
We skipped past the Patriots on defense here and started hopping around the division, so I want to just backtrack a little bit because, of course, Belichick, his reputation, and the defense is getting a lot of credit this year. They've had a real tough time with the Bills and Josh Allen over the last couple of seasons, with the exception of that tornado bowl here last December, Mark. So, I don't know, what are you expecting? Is there a new bag of tricks to be opened up by Belichick? Or what? Like, what are the Bills in for tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And, you know, I've always said this, and I've said this with you guys before, you know, trying to get into the mind of Bill Belichick and what he's going to do before a game. It's sometimes a risky proposition. It seems like every time I try to do that, I end up wildly wrong. What's been interesting about the Patriots this year is, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you guys have talked about this a ton, that sort of too deep safety world that we're living in. So many teams are keeping both safeties deep, cover two, cover four, trying to keep things in front of them. You know, Buffalo has seen a lot of that on the offensive side of the ball. Teams using that against Josh Allen. The Patriots have gone in the other direction. They've gone back to more of the cover one man stuff, you know, single high zone stuff. You know, they've moved away from that trend. They've been very good at getting pressure with four. You know, they're top five in terms of pressure in the quarterback with four rushers. You know, they really like what they have, certainly with Matthew Judon and what he's done. But what's been interesting is, you know, studying Allen this year, studying the Bills, you know, there have been times when five or more coming after Allen has led to some mistakes, has led to some breakdowns, has led to some, you know, incompletions, interceptions. And so you wonder if that trend of New England's to rush four, to play seven in coverage, to play single high, is going to be something that they break on Thursday night. You might see a couple of blitzes here and there. You might even see some zero blitz looks. The Patriots have done that. That was how the game ended, that windy, crazy Monday night game last year. It ended with the Patriots in cover zero, and, you know, my heart in my throat when I saw them line it up for that, because not what I would do against Josh Allen, but Bill Belichick's a much smarter man than I am when it comes to NFL football. So you might see some more pressure. You might see them send five or six at times. You might see some of the too high looks. You saw some of that Thursday night against Minnesota with Justin Jefferson. Maybe it's something they're going to incorporate on Thursday night with Josh Allen. And so I would imagine Belichick's going to empty the toolkit and say, look, we'll throw everything at him we need to, because Josh Allen, because of where he is right now as a quarterback, you can't do one thing against him. You have to mix it up.
It has been kind of an interesting year, Mark, hasn't it, for how teams have played defense? I mean, I really didn't – I guess I should have expected it, because the league is always cyclical in a certain way, but how passing yards are down and how teams are – after all, everybody seemed to buy – most seemed to buy in, like, okay, we got to throw the ball to win. It's still true enough, but this year it's been harder.
It's been a lot harder, you know, and a lot of people do point to the too high world that we're living in, you know, with defenses really trying to dare teams to run the football. And over the past couple of years, this was a question that was simmering in the back of many people's minds, was, okay, if defenses are going to just dare you to run, if they're going to insist on playing four or five or really light boxes and keeping both safeties deep, when do we see that start to flip? When do we see teams start to say, you know what, fine, we will run the football? Because if you're going to stay in that kind of defensive front, if you're going to keep that light box, if you're going to keep that second safety deep, we will run it. We will force you to eventually bring that safety down, and that's when we're going to go to the passing game. And so it's not quite fully there. That sort of cycle hasn't fully come full circle, but it seems like that's the direction we're headed, with scoring down around the entire league, with, you know, passing success rates, with, you know, a lot of passing metrics are down year to year from this year to last year. And so this seems like it's the start of a trend that's going to stick.
Mark, thanks for the visit. Sorry for the awkwardness at the beginning with the, well, not the math, but the sad news about Christine McVie. We just always like to sort of tap into your music side when you're on. So that's what all I was doing there.
I'm glad you brought that to attention. Like I said, I'm going to head up and get in touch with my wife, because, you know, that is a sad, sad bit of news. And I'm sure we'll be listening to Fleetwood Mac tonight, like I'm sure the rest of you will be too.
Yeah, that's right. That's definitely true of me. Thank you, Mark. We'll talk again. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, friends. Hope to talk soon. Have a great night.
You too. Mark Schofield, SB Nation, at Mark Schofield on Twitter. Fleetwood Mac has really always been one of my bands. I'm that age.
Yeah.
Or a little older, it works. You know, they were, when? Height of their powers. Rumors, so
yeah,
77?
Yeah, that's, yeah, yeah.
I've seen, this is, for me, you know this is a notable. I've actually been to a Fleetwood Mac concert. Because I've been to like 10 concerts.
Yeah, you got me. I never saw them.
MCI Center, it was known as then, Washington. I went to see Fleetwood Mac. Loved it.
This is before like Mike Campbell and who's the other guy? Like they had to fill in guitar players without Lindsey Buckingham.
You yeah, I don't know who that is. Mike Campbell, yeah.
Okay.
Lindsey Buckingham, Christy yeah. McVie, all of them.
Yeah. Great. Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Campbell was Petty's guitar player for years.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. And he jumped in with I can't think of the other guy. There was another famous guitar player that when they had a the parting of the ways with Buckingham, they brought in Campbell and another dude, and I forget who that other dude is.
Joe Walsh. Was it Joe Walsh? He's a famous guitar player.
Not Joe Walsh, but I've got Vince Gill in my head, but I think he was Eagles. Yeah. So I'm not sure who this other Fleetwood Mac dude is.
It's your son, Leo.
Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe it was just Mike Campbell. I don't know.
It was your son, Leo. Famous guitar player. Who was the famous guitar player that joined Fleetwood Mac? Was it Don Felder? I'm running through any famous guitar players I can think of.
From especially that era.
Keith Richards. Was it Keith Richards?
No.
Jimmy Page.
No.
Wasn't Jimmy Page. No. Was it John McEntee?
That could be it.
Yeah. 803-0550, Bills Patriots tomorrow night. Sabres at the Red Wings tonight. Pregame at 6 here on WGR.
The band's almost back together, I heard. You know, it was so nice to see him. You know, Smoke's my guy. It's been a while. Last year we had E, so didn't see too much of Smoke, but that's my dog. I was happy to see him, happy to have him back. I saw him out there running around. He looks smooth, looks good, looks like the old Smoke. So I look forward to being out there real soon, getting active.
Stephon Diggs, Smoke's my guy, John Brown.
Looks like the old Smoke.
He looks like the old Smoke. This is why it's better to never have had the nickname Smoke.
Top of old Smoke. Sorry.
Because I would not look like the old Smoke. Best to just sort of slide through not being nicknamed Smoke.
I'm probably more like not gently used damage.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
My career, I'd say.
you'd sell for a discount.
Yes, right. Lived in would be how they try to spin it.
Lived in, right. I didn't recognize the number. That game Sunday night, Eagles-Packers, the Eagles ran for 363 yards. Did you know that was that many?
I said I never looked, but at some point during Monday's show, I think I said, did Hurts and Sanders both go for like 150? And I think that was right.
Sanders was in the 140s, but close enough.
Okay.
Hurts did.
Yeah.
Yeah, 363 rushing yards. Like, I was wondering, how close is that to the record? And it's fairly close. It's, let me count real quick, it's 15th all-time, I think. The Bills have a game better than that in their history. The Bills have 366 in a game. Who was their leading rusher in this game? Hint, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Jim Braxton.
No. Did he have games like that? Maybe he might. Maybe he did.
He had there were 100-yard games with OJ, I think.
Okay.
But so I doubt on a day where they ran for what did you say 360 whatever
366.
That he would have been the leading carrier. So that was a bad guess by me. But
what other hint can I give you? Not the leading rusher for the other team, but someone who got carries for the other team was Larry Zonka. That's not going to help you because he played against the Bills a bunch of times.
Yeah.
No. I'll just tell you.
Joe Cribbs.
Terry Miller.
Terry Miller. Okay.
1978, Bills over the Giants at home, 41-17. The game was 17-10 Giants after three quarters, and the Bills scored 27 points unanswered in the fourth quarter and ran for 366 yards. That is their team record. They also have a 356 from 360 rather. They almost have matched it. 1973, the OJ year. The NFL record is the Giants in 1950, 423 rushing yards. The Ravens had a 404 at the end of the 20 season. Anyway, what a performance by Philadelphia.
Bills had a 341 in the playoffs against Miami, too.
341 rushing? Oh, the Tyndale game. Is that the number?
I'm almost positive.
Okay.
It was a big, big, like they just annihilated them on the ground that day.
Yes, they did.
Now I'm going to want to look. But, yeah, I've had 341. Like, that's one of those numbers for me that I just have stuck. Like, I have referenced it through the years, and I hope it's right now.
Yeah. Excellent. Good luck.
Speaking of that season, by the way, my wife very thoughtfully just put up, we moved some things around and hung some new things in the attic, and I don't have any real memorabilia per se up here. I've got a Rob Ray hockey stick. There's a picture of Owen from when he was in the North American Hockey League, but she put this nice little display case together, and the ticket stub from the David White game is in there. I just think she, I don't know where she found it, but she put it in there. And I was grabbing a beer out of the beer fridge, and it's right above the beer fridge. I'm like, that's the David White game.
The David White game.
Ticket stub sitting here. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
That's the game that preceded that great rushing game in the playoffs.
On the scale, in terms of trivia, Bills trivia, that's up there, like who David White is. Mm-hmm. I still think, like, maybe the vast majority of listeners won't know who that is or what game that is because he was such an obscure player. Mm-hmm. Did he have two interceptions?
No, he had one, but the one he had like sort of clinched it, and it and just was a great sort of one-handed Odell Beckham-esque.
Wow.
I'm exaggerating, but it was he reached up like, you know, linebacker dropping into coverage and just was able to get a hand on it and haul it in.
David White was Odell Beckham before Odell Beckham.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm going with. Yeah.
Linebacker started six games for the Bills in 95. That's the only interception he made. Scored a touchdown for the Bills in 96. Anyway, I can do this on my own time. The David White game ticket stub. What's that worth?
I am right, by the way. Pro Football Reference. 52 carries, 341 yards on the ground in that game.
Good.
All right. I'm never going to have to look that up again, he said.
So you have ticket stubs as collectibles. You have the ticket stubs that were ripped,
yep,
like Sabres
exactly.
Games in the odd, ripped. Yep. And then they put the perforation in, so they wouldn't be ripped so much as just sort of the perforation. The little part would have been taken away. And so you have those. Those are probably clean. And then you have like the big ones, the big designer tickets that we had there for a minute. And then we just have no tickets.
No tickets. Right.
No.
Yeah.
Just
QR
code.
I don't know, big designer ticket. Also, interestingly, I don't know, I haven't talked to my wife about this, you know, this display she's put together, but I went on a trip I think this is the only junket I've ever been involved in. I went on a junket.
Jacksonville
in 96 to see the stadium because the Bills were in a push to get their stadium done, and the Bills got a bunch of media together, and you know, we all took a plane ride down to Jacksonville and went to a Monday night game there. And the stub from that is in there, too. And it's, yeah, it's not torn. It was perforated, so it's not an entire ticket. But it looks like more like a souvenir than any other ticket in this little display there, because it's, you know, it's maybe the most current ticket that's in there.
We've got Sal Capaccio coming up in less than half an hour from Foxborough. The Sabres are in Detroit tonight. You may have seen that a game was flexed. Last night, it was announced, flexed for next Sunday night. Miami at the Chargers replaces Kansas City, Denver. Good move?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, just how – I mean, everybody was saying this last night, so it's not exactly original. But just Denver is so bad that they flat – Mahomes is being taken
right
out of primetime.
Right. That's right.
That's how bad Denver
That's
is.
The worst thing you could say about a team.
I think it is. It really
is. I think
is.
It is, like, too.
How bad are you? You're this bad that we're going to deprive the nation of watching Patrick Mahomes throw for 600 yards on you. Although, I mean, Denver's pass defense, whatever. But
whatever.
It's just brutal.
To take Mahomes off of a primetime slot, you got to be pretty bad.
So, yeah, good choice. I don't know that that means Miami-Buffalo won't get flexed to Sunday night the following week, but it seems like an odd decision to make to flex the same team in twice in a row.
I agree.
So I don't think there's anything prohibiting it, and I was informed last night that the Chargers played two in a row this year already, earlier this year, but I don't think one of those was flexed, I would bet, but I don't think both were. So
no.
I'm hoping for Saturday night for Bills Dolphins.
Yeah, that was two of the last 3 weeks. The Chargers-San Francisco game was not flexed. That was scheduled. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chargers game the next week was.
Okay.
They took Pittsburgh and somebody off. Did you see the report from Connor Hughes of SNY that they wanted the Bills-Jets game first?
And CBS had protected it.
Yes.
I did see that. Yes.
I never would have seen that coming. Jets-Bills. Next Sunday is Jets at Bills. And this guy reported that that's the game NBC wanted. And then they took Miami and the Chargers instead. Wow, right?
Yes.
Jets-Bills going to prime time. The Miami game's better, but I get it. I mean, the Jets are kind of interesting. It's New York.
Sure.
I'm sure the networks are dying to get a New York team on if they can.
And they beat the Bills already, so, like, you know, well, let's see if they can do that again. Like, big spot for them. Like, I get it. I think it might be even just as surprising that CBS wanted to keep it that badly. You know, like they blocked it.
Know what the line is for Jets Vikings this week?
I do not.
Yes. You're good at these, but I think you're going to miss this one.
The game is in Minnesota?
Yes.
I'm going to say Minnesota minus 5.
Yep, that's what I thought you'd say. 3.
Okay.
That counts as a miss, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a miss.
2 points?
Yeah, that's a miss. Yeah.
Not way off. I agree with you. I would have said the same thing. Like, I think I want to pick Minnesota, but of course what I do is, like, why would I want to do that? And I get it all twisted and then I take the Jets. But it is interesting, the Jets are only a 3-point underdog at the Vikings. I don't think Mike White is actually good. You said the same thing on Monday.
Yeah, right. That'll burst.
I don't think he's actually good, but the difference between that and other situations where you're sort of done with your quarterback is not just that they have a good record and are live in the playoff picture, which is, you know, it's the Jets too, but that they have good players around him. That's why this needed to happen. Both of those reasons combined, mm-hmm. but especially because you are drafting, what do they have? 3 receivers or 4? 4 receivers who've been picked first, second round. Wilson's first round, Elijah Moore is second, Corey Davis is first, that's Tennessee, but still.
And Mims was second.
And Mims was second. You've got 4 guys at wide receiver. I'm jealous. I mean, the Bills, we're talking all the time, like, are they enough? Do they have enough there? We'll see. 4 guys with that sort of talent on the roster, and your quarterback can't get them the ball. They asked Elijah Moore a couple weeks ago about his chemistry with Zach Wilson. He's like, how would I know? He doesn't throw the ball to me.
Right.
Like, you just cannot have that. You got to fire that coach, or you've got to give up on the quarterback. You cannot. This takes me back, us back, to many Bills teams. You cannot draft Sammy Watkins like that. You know, it's a bad trade by the math, but you did it. So now you got to keep, you got to double down. You've got to throw the ball to him and build around him. And the Bills never did that adequately. And guess what happened? Like, it all just fell apart. So here are the Jets with these guys. It's the Atlanta problem. The Falcons are out drafting Kyle Pitts and Drake London as top 10 overall picks. Pitts is hurt now, but they lose and they don't throw the ball to these guys. Like, well, how, man, if I owned a team, this would just never be possible. This would never be allowed. There's no way I'm going to fund this operation. So good, in my opinion, good. You go get these pass catchers. That's kind of what you want to do. But not just that Wilson wasn't able to get the ball to them. Like, the effort wasn't there. It was just too far gone. So I don't think White is good, but I do think they're live.
I think they're better with him playing.
They're better with him playing.
It's not good news to me. Like, you know, if they were able to win with the quarterback play they were getting, and this guy is any, we'll see how much of an improvement he really is. Because, like I said, last year he did this. Last year, he came in, he completed some easy stuff, put up big numbers, and then he played the Bills and he looked like, I mean, a clown car.
Picks.
It was brutal. Yeah.
You're going to get picks from Mike White. Or turnover-worthy plays, I want to say, I guess. Yeah, Chicago is just terrible. So that happened Sunday against Chicago. Bet Online has it up. Will Zach Wilson start again this season? No is minus 400. That's Flacco being there, too. Mm-hmm. Because I think the thinking would be, if Mike White goes down, even if it's an injury, that Flacco would go in. We don't know that. I don't know that. But the odds are, according to these odds, the odds are against Zach Wilson starting another game for them this year. Will he start game one next year? No is minus 150. Aaron Rodgers is an interesting name for who will start week one for the Jets next year, right?
That's fun.
We'll see what happens there.
Yep.
That's what they I mean, the move for the Jets, the next move for the Jets, I feel strongly, is not drafting another guy. Oh, we just did that and then gave up on it. No. You go get the best. You make the Russell Wilson trade. I know that bombed.
Yep.
Rodgers, if it's possible. Garoppolo, even. Like, you make that. Tannehill, maybe.
Brady.
That's the next. Brady, sure. That's the next move for the Jets if, you know, Mike White doesn't just, like, take over. And then you can keep Wilson around, too, and have those guys be the starter. See how it goes. 803-0550 for calls. Sal Capaccio coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio still to come. The Sabres are in Detroit. 6 o'clock pregame here on WGR.
More Detroit.
More Detroit. Can't get enough Detroit. I have not been to Detroit in, well, a lot of people in the area have been there a lot more recently than me.
Yeah.
I liked Joe Louis Arena. Joe Louis Arena was one of those famous arenas I got lucky enough to broadcast in because of the Buffalo Blizzard. The Detroit Rockets, they were called, and they played there. And that broadcast location, this would happen a few times, was like 20 rows up. I mean, would tarp off the upper level for soccer. The Blizzard did that, too, at our arena. So you couldn't sit up there. But we used the Sabres booth when the Blizzard were at home. But in, like, Detroit, I sat very low. Fun memories. Think Sal's going to go see Prince William, who's in Boston? I mean, Sal, I'm not sure. I don't think Sal's in Boston. They might be in Providence, or Foxborough. Yeah, I know you're excited. William and Kate, they're in the States. They're in Boston.
What's this now? Yeah, okay, great. Good for them.
Yeah. Good for them.
What are they doing there?
Award.
They're there to go to Bills Patriots tomorrow?
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? I don't really mean that. I don't really care if they go to the Bills game, but, you know, somebody would care. Doubt it. I don't know. They're there for some award on Friday to announce or participate in some ceremony, I guess.
I probably should take the fact that I haven't gotten an update from you as the update and not ask you on the air, but, well, what the hell. No word from Al?
No word from Al. So I wanted to bring that up. There's two kinds of people. One when somebody you want to communicate with tells you they will get back to you, that would get back to them again first anyway. Mm-hmm. Hey, Al, just wondering, how's it going? Is there any chance? Something like that. Mm-hmm. The other type of people is the type I am. No, he said he would get back to me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Yep. But right. I'm not going to, you know, get in the way of that.
Right.
I can't imagine we talk to him now. I mean, the game's tomorrow. But
right. I agree with this approach.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would feel the same way if I were the one necessarily, you know, if my job were booking guests, maybe I'd be a little more tenacious. Right. But I tend to think someone at that level, like, could they have forgotten about it because they're so busy? Like, that's your justification for sending the text again. But I'm more inclined to think if they've forgotten about it, then so be it.
The way my interactions have gone with him and then ours on the air also, I would like to think he wouldn't have forgotten. It's just not, maybe he's just
right.
not getting to it. I mean, that's how I'm looking yep. at it. So, you know, this goes back to the days when you're dating. Like, oh, they said they wanted to call, they're going to call me back. I'm not sure. Do I sort of push back in and right. remind them that I exist? That just never seemed to work.
No.
If they want to call you, they'll call you.
You're only a couple of missteps away from Jon Favreau leaving messages and swingers. I mean,
I did that. I can remember the woman's name, and it's a nightmare. I did that 10 times even. Just do not bring that up again. Too soon.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio next here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.